This morning we turn to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question 103. What do we pray for in the third petition? In the third petition, which is, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," we pray that God, by his grace, would make us able and willing to know, obey, and submit to his will in all things, as the angels do in heaven. The Catechism at this point, as you well know, is dealing with what we call the Lord's Prayer, the prayer given by the Lord Jesus Christ as a pattern to his disciples. Between the preface, "Our Father which art in heaven," and the conclusion, "Thine be the glory forever and ever," there are six petitions. The first three of them concern God. There is first, "Hallowed be thy name," which means that we desire that God's name will be honored and reverenced, even the name of the Father. The second petition, "Thy kingdom come." In that we pray for the establishment and increase of the kingdom. That is the kingdom of the Son. And in the third petition, "Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven," we pray for the accomplishment of God's will among his people by the Spirit. So the first petition concerns the Father, the second, the kingdom of the Son, and the third, the working of the Holy Spirit. "Hallowed be thy name." The first petition, the desire expressed that God will be reverenced, that he will be set apart as holy. It includes the thought that his greatness will be revealed, and then the thought that men would acknowledge this greatness, appreciate this greatness, and respect this greatness, and show to God that regard and that awe which becomes him, especially in all our approaches to God in worship, in prayer and in praise. "Hallowed be thy name." The second petition, "Thy kingdom come." We have remarked that that refers not to what we call his essential kingdom, the kingdom which is over all creation, such as is mentioned in Psalm 103:19, "The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all." That kingdom is his essential kingdom, it's his universal kingdom. But it is not to that kingdom that these words refer. "Thy kingdom come" is a reference to what we call Christ's mediatorial kingdom or his special kingdom exercised within the general kingdom of God, but exercised in and over Christ's people who are made a society distinct from the world. And we are taught, therefore, that Christ's kingdom or church will flourish in the world, that it will be advanced, that it will be successful, and that Christ will reign over us, that he will reign over others, and that he will keep us all in his care, and that he will bring in at last the kingdom of the eternal state, the kingdom of glory. Which brings us to the third petition. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Now, if the first petition, hallowed be thy name, relates to God, pure and simply, the second relates to the Lord our God as King, thy kingdom come. And the third will then relate to his subjects, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Calvin picked up this point, and he says, the most important part of God's kingdom lies in his will being done. Thomas Manton, the Puritan, confirms that and adds, Christ is not our king when we do our own will. If we call him Master and Lord, as Jesus himself has said, why do we not obey his will? Do not the things which he says. That sentiment is expressed in John 13:13 and Luke 6:46. Hallowed be thy name brings before us God. Thy kingdom come, God in Christ, King of the church. Thy will be done in heaven, in earth as it is in heaven, brings in view the subjects of the people of the King, and the Lord's will accepted amongst them. So it is time now to look at this third petition. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And it leads me to say a word about the will of God. Now, according to God's word, there is what we call a secret decretive will of God, that is the will of his eternal decrees. And we read of that will of God, the will of his purposes, in such passages as Ephesians 1 and verse 9, where Paul says, he has made known unto us the mystery of his will, that which God has designed and purposed from eternity, he has now made known to us, according to the good pleasure which he hath purposed in himself. And further reference in verse 11 of Ephesians 1, according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. This is the will of his decree, the will of his purpose. But it cannot be this will which is referred to here in the third petition, thy will be done. Why not? Because we don't know the secret will of God. And therefore, we can't do it or obey it. Known unto God are such things. There is a mystery about his will. All the depths of the judgments of God, Paul says, his ways, are past finding out. So it is secret. It cannot be that. And this decretive will of God is done by all reprobates, the non-elect, and devils and demons alike. So that even in the case of Judas Iscariot and his awful deed of betrayal, you remember how Christ said, the Son of Man goes as it is determined of him. But woe unto that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. So it was by the decretive will of God that Christ was betrayed. Peter says the same thing when preaching in, as recorded in the book of Acts and chapter 4 and verse 28. He says, of a truth, verse 27, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people were gathered together for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. So the decretive will of God is done by all, even the most wretched of men and of spirits. So we can hardly pray, thy will be done, in that sense. We don't know it and therefore can't do it. And it is done by all and is not something particularly concerning God's people. And thirdly, this decretive will is always done. Always done. No question about it. No doubt about it. Paul writes in Romans 9 and verse 19, who hath resisted his will? Rhetorical question. Expecting the answer, none. No one has resisted his will. And you'll find in Isaiah chapter 14, similar sentiment expressed. Isaiah 14 and verses 24 and 5. Surely, as I have thought, so it shall come to pass. And as I have purposed, so shall it stand. So there's no point in praying that God's decretive will be done. It will be done. But the Bible says this in Deuteronomy 29:29, the secret things belong unto the Lord our God. That's his secret will. But the things that are revealed belong unto us and to our children. And this third petition concerns rather God's revealed will. His will revealed in precepts. and commandments, as we find in Matthew 7, verse 21. Our Lord refers to it there. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That is, who follows the directives of God's holy word, his will of precept. And secondly, there is his will of providence. Paul refers to that in Romans chapter 1, verse 10, making request, if by any means, now at length, I might have a prosperous journey by the will of God to come unto you. Now, with respect to the first, the will of precept, this petition means that we are to find grace to do it. And with reference to the second, the will of providence, we are to find grace, as the answer in our catechism states, to submit to it. Thy will be done. Now we pray that God's will be done. And it supposes that we are praying against other wills being done. We are praying against Satan's will being done, for the hurt and the sorrow of men and women in this world. We are praying against the world's will being done, the way of the world, the course of the world, as Paul says. We are praying against our will being done, so that we insist on going our way and making our life for ourselves. Herman Witsius, the great Dutch preacher and theologian, says, a prayer that the will of God may be done plainly implies that the subordination of our will is just and proper. In this manner, we must prepare our minds for saying to God, I have no will, O Lord, thy will is my will. That's beautifully expressed. Now, if we understand God's will in this petition to be his will of precept and his will of providence, and we accept that it is God's prerogative to will in either or both of those ways, then we accept that his will must be revealed if we are to respond to it in a becoming way. And how is his will, as already understood, how is it revealed? Well, we've spoken of a twofold will, haven't we? The will of his precept and the will of his providence. And the fact is that his will is revealed, the first by his words, the will of his precept, and the second by his works, the will of his providence. And God having revealed them, we need grace to discern the will of God, made known in and by them. Ephesians 5:17 exhorts Christians to understand what the will of God is. We need that. That understanding to see in the will of his precepts what obedience should be rendered, and to see in the will of his providence what submission should be expressed. And we are praying, thy will be done. The will of the Lord in both these ways must be supreme, because God in Christ is supreme. He is the only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. And his will, whether the will of his precept, is good, because Paul writes in Romans 7:12 that the law of the Lord is good, and his will of providence is ultimately good. Paul says in Romans 12 that we must give ourselves to God that we may prove what is that good and acceptable will of God. So if we discern the will of God in these ways, we shall answer this petition, as it were, thy will be done. We are praying that as far as the commandments of the law and the gospel are concerned, that God would work in us so graciously and powerfully that we shall conform to what God requires. And as to the will of providence, we are praying that God would mind us in that providence and regard us and take care of us, and that he would give us the surrender of heart and of life to yield to that providence. And this will be for God's glory and our happiness. Thy will be done. So the will of precept is, as in 1 Thessalonians 5, this is the, 1 Thessalonians 4, rather, this is the will of God, even your sanctification. There's a part of the will of God revealed, that we should be holy as he is holy. So the individual believer seeks to follow that will of God plainly revealed in the counsels of God's word, how to live the Christian life, how to be godly in Christ Jesus. We follow that, praying all the time, thy will be done. Keep me attached to thy word. Keep me within the lines of truth and morality. And as to the will of providence, we're praying that it will be done, that we'll be given grace to accept it, strength to take it, just as our Lord prayed in the garden, you see. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. That's the will of providence. Bring it to pass. Help me not to resist it. Help me not to struggle. Help me not to dishonor the name wherewith I am called. Help me to surrender to it and bring through it the good which thou dost design and which thou dost purpose. Thy will be done. But then it continues, in earth. In earth. That's interesting, isn't it? Thy will be done in earth. In other words, we are to pray for the living. We are not authorized to pray for the dead. And it's a disturbing element that has come in to church life from Roman teaching, that we pray for the dead. I've occasionally heard at funerals nonconformist ministers praying for the soul of the departed, not to pray for that. We pray only for the living. thy will be done in earth. In other words, the earth is the place where we must show obedience, and that is our responsibility upon the earth. It is our opportunity to show in the earth our devotion to God and our observance of His will. Here we have the freedom of will. Here we have the choice. Here we have the good and the evil presented, and it is here in earth that is our state of probation, as it were. This is where God would test us, where He would try us. It's nowhere else but in the earth. In this earth, there is a great deal of opposition to it, to God's will. Many things would divert us, many things would distract us. Hence the need for prayer. Thy will be done in earth. And our concern is not only for ourselves, but when we pray this prayer, offer this petition, we are praying that we ourselves, of course, naturally included, must accept God's will in His word and in providence. But we're praying also that beyond us, His will may be done, and His will yielded to in the whole earth. So we are praying for God's people, established in churches and positioned in churches, that they will all come to see the authority of Scripture for the worship and service of God, for the government and peace of the churches, for the life of holiness and godliness, that thy will may be done, not in my life, not in my church, but in the whole of Christendom. Thy will be done in earth. And there is the hope in that petition that it's a request well founded, and upon which we can hope that one day indeed the kingdom of Christ will so expand and so increase that multitudes of others will come under the scepter of Christ Jesus and do the will of Christ in precept and accept the will of Christ in providence. And this kingdom will be throughout the world, because Christ has taught us to pray that big and that large. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Which brings me to the third emphasis. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. And the Lord's will is done in heaven. If ever you look back over the psalms which we sing in a worship service, you will mark that the first we sang this morning is Psalm 103. And we read in verse 20 these words: Bless the Lord, ye His angels, that excel in strength, that do His commandments, hearkening unto the voice of His word. So in heaven, the angels do the will of God. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. But how can we be so obedient and subject as the angels? Well, we can't obey and submit to the will of God in the same measure as the angels, because the angels in heaven are holy and they've never known sin. So we cannot do this in the same measure as the angels. There can be no equality, but there can be resemblance, as it is in heaven. How do the angels obey the Lord in heaven? Oh, they obey him most willingly. They obey him fervently. Remember that some of them, the seraphim, has wings, indicating the swiftness and the alacrity with which they do the will of the sovereign above, and they obey him and accept his will constantly. Never one falls there. They are confirmed in their holy state, and they serve him, we read, day and night. And that is to be our holy example, the angels. When God issues a command, it is done. When God makes his providential will known, it is accepted. There's no disobedience, there's no rebellion in heaven. The Lord therefore sets before us the worthiest example, because heaven is the place where God is most glorified. Oh, that we would that God were so glorified in the earth. And therefore we pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, make earth like heaven. Give us a heart to receive and to obey every word of God that proceeds out of his lips. Oh, for grace to take the word of command and obey the same most readily. Oh, thy will. We pray it for ourselves. We pray it for our church. We pray it for the Lord's people worldwide. Thy will be done in earth. And we pray for that subjection, that we won't resist his providential will, that we won't strain at it or murmur at it or complain at it. We won't in some way avoid it. We won't try to overturn it. We would rather say with Eli, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him to be good. That is the expression of thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. If heaven is the place where God is most glorified, because his will is obeyed and submitted to, then God will be glorified in that heart and life, in that church and company, where his will has response from us of obedience and submission. And it is for our happiness. When we think of heaven, my friends, we think of happiness. The angels there, they're not all grumbling about their estate, with expressions of grave disquiet and grave discontent. They're singing, because the will of God is best. It's always best. And when we pray, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven, we are praying that for ourselves, our church, and the Lord's people everywhere, that they will obey his will of precept and submit to his will of providence and discover that this is to their peace and to their joy. Now, all I will say in conclusion is this, that the will of the Lord's precept is not always easy. It requires self-denial. And it requires gracious perseverance and to submit to the will of providence is not always easy, because at the beginning we may wonder what God is doing. Where is it all leading? What will be the end of it? And that's it. We don't yet see the end of it. So judge not God when his work is half done. Judge not the artist when half the picture is on the canvas. Judge not the expert in woodcraft when his work is not yet completed. God makes everything beautiful in his time. And with respect to providence, we submit to it because we believe that the end of it will be right. And the end of it will be good. So we don't rebel and we don't become fractious and we don't become fretful, but we just yield our spirit like Aaron did. Even at the death of his sons, he held his peace. That is submitting to the will of providence. Oh, what cause, my friends, to pray every day. Oh God, in Christ thou art my King, make me a worthy subject. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Amen.